Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Gugule Tumfupi. One particular industry that sometimes gets a bad rap. If you ask a few business leaders, how do you make a million? They'll tell you, start with a billion, open up an airline, and then you'll have a million. But despite that, as we know, there are high costs to starting an airline to operate anywhere in the world. Consider the various input costs, from the quality of the aircraft, the fuel that's necessary, the skills and the technical support that is required. There's a lot of concern around the high costs of starting an airline in Africa. But someone who knows more about this is aviation analyst Phuthego Mojabele to tell us more about the realities of the challenges of opening up an airline on the continent. Phuthego, such a pleasure to have you.
Good evening, thank you for having me and your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. You might have heard the cheeky comment I made in my opening remark about how to, you know, have a million. Start with a billion, open up an airline, and then you'll end up with a million. And I guess that does relate well to the conversation at hand this evening around the high input costs of starting an airline in South Africa. But for those of us who are just merely passengers and observe this from a distance, help us understand the complexities around the aviation industry on the African continent, especially when it comes to costs, but also compliance.
Thank you so much. I think one should also make mention of just the compliance in terms of getting the license to operate as an airline. There is what we call an AOC. You need to have that. That process of obtaining AOC is a very tedious. It requires quite a substantial amount of money to have that. Insurances that are not cheaper as well to obtain insurances. You need to have insurances liability, and you also need to have insurances on the things, like, for example, if you are going to be operating in a certain areas that are a high risk areas, you need to have cover that can cover you from those kind of things before you can even start talking about the technical skills that you require, the aircraft that you need to have at that particular time. So there is quite a lot of overheads that you need to cover before you can even start. And then from there, you go to applying for the licenses on the routes. You approach councils. There is domestic council. There's also international council. Even there, you make representation. You need lawyers. You need quite a substantial amount of information put together for you to be able to start. That is before you can even get the lease. You start leasing aircrafts and stuff like that. So it's quite a tedious exercise. And then once you have done that, successfully done that, you now need to operate into African continent. Mm-hmm. When you get there, places like Uganda, Zimbabwe, and others, Zambia, and then when you go further into Africa, it becomes much more and more difficult to even obtain FOP, foreign operators permit, even in those countries to operate in their countries. Even though we've got what we call Yamoussoukro agreement, which is gives us the rights of most of African countries, freedom of skies. But the countries, they operate in silos. They just want to protect their countries. But when you look at most of those countries, you know, it's airlines that are operated by their own countries, unlike here at home. Here at home, at least we are fortunate that we have private companies that have airlines.
100%. And I think this is so important because before you even fill up the jet, have passengers on board, and then take to the skies, what you've described is such an intricate, complex, and time-consuming process that does lead to a lot of strain, and I guess even investors feeling fatigued by the commitment that they'd like to have. But I'm told that on the African continent in particular, there is an unfair nuance that limits the level of competition that we have in this space. Help us understand this further, and most importantly, what solutions we can do to fix it.
So in Africa, Gugu, is that, you know, Africa, like I said before you came in with the question, is that Africa does not have airlines that are privately owned. Majority of the countries that we have in Africa, they have their own airlines within their countries. They're owned by government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have a company like SAFAIR, for example, you have a company like Airlink. You are an independent company from South Africa. In South Africa, laws are relaxed for everybody to operate. It's a modern South Africa. It's a progressive country in terms of economy. We are open for anything. You can do anything that you want in South Africa.
Yeah.
But in those countries, you are not allowed. You're not allowed, but you still can. But they just don't have the means. The second thing about Africa is that the facilities, airport facilities, navigational systems that they have there, you know, it's just a mess in Africa. Now, you can imagine, most of the time when SAA was operating in most of these other countries, they used to fly with technicians on board the flights, go in there and come back with their own technicians. Because to have people there to try and assist you, it becomes a nightmare, and it becomes so expensive for them to afford to do that. So the countries close their own entities. They close their own countries for any other airline outside their own countries to come and operate there. They just make it so difficult that, you know, even just to repatriate the money. When you're running an airline, Gugu, when you are operating in that country, the law says you should sell the tickets with the local currency. You need to have the bank in that country, and the money needs to go into the bank account of that country. Just to repatriate that money, leaving the country, coming into South Africa, say, for example, if I operate an airline in South Africa, go into Malawi, for example, you would find it very difficult to be able to get that money out of that. South African Airways still have the money sitting in Zimbabwe, millions of dollars of South African Airways sitting there. They're battling to get it back into South Africa.
That's true.
So those are the challenges.
Exactly. And I'm so glad you announced, you make this point, Abud Putejo, because that's the intricacy about operating across the rest of the continent. And ultimately, it almost seems as though a new intervention needs to take place where there's political leaders present, business leaders present, to actually, I guess, make sure that there's a realignment in terms of the opportunities that can be tapped into. Would this thinking be correct?
Well, it's going to be very difficult unless we change the mindset of how we view things in Africa. You see, like I said earlier on, we are blessed in South Africa that we have a progressive society. We've got a very good constitution. When we are not happy, we are able to raise issues, and there's no bureaucracy that blocked any other companies that want to start airline and operate, and not just airline, even cargo carriers. We do have a couple of cargo carriers that operates in South Africa, and there's no issues with that. So we do need to engage bilaterally as countries and say, look, you need to allow us to operate. And I'm just going to cite something quickly that
sure.
I know for the fact has happened in the past. Air Link went to the council two years ago, International Air Services Licensing Council, complaining about the treatment that they receive in the likes of Uganda and other countries where they apply, when they apply to operate in their countries. But we in South Africa, when they come here, apply, we just sort of roll red carpets for them, and they just get the best treatment, and they get what they want out of us. But we don't get the same treatment in their countries. So we got to approach this thing in a level that we all want to benefit in this thing, but it cannot be that we must be subjected to a certain treatment when we get there, but you expect that you are going to get the red carpet in our country. But it's how progressive our laws are in South Africa.
100%. You mentioned such a critical point, and I agree with you. It will take time. It requires political will, but also just fair treatment on both sides to make sure that we do see and view each other as peers. Abud Phuthego, such a pleasure, please, speaking to you, sir. I certainly hope that we make progress in this regard, but I am aware such things do take time. Thank you again for your time this evening, sir.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
Thank you, Phuthego Mojapele, aviation analyst, helping us understand the complexities of running an airline on the African continent.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.